Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Nobody's missing out on the action this season. All DraftKings customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code ICTPOD to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code ICTPOD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problems gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football for terms for eligibility. Terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ice Cold Takes podcast. I am your host, Joey DiMeglio. And rookie camp is now underway for the Rangers, meaning we are even closer to the start of the regular season. Joining me today to talk about the prospects in camp is Stat Boy Steven, our resident guest on Ice Cold Takes. Steven, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Yeah, happy to join always, of course. It's been a pretty cool summer. Pretty busy, got married. So, I'm looking forward to going back into the rhythm of watching the Rangers again and doing my prospect updates and maybe some interviews coming up. So this was definitely the busiest summer I've had in years.
It sounds like it. Yeah, you're telling me you're flying back and forth everywhere. Between Netherlands, Ireland, yeah. New York. Yeah. Congratulations, yeah, like, by the way, again.
So I'm from the Netherlands, so my family still lives there. I now live in Ireland. You know, my wife's from New York, so we travel back and forth just to see our family. Like what some people just do by getting on a subway or on a bus. It's a little bit more complicated when it involves like international travel, but no, it's been luckily all the restrictions are gone. It was 2 years of COVID with like no flights at all or very restricted flights, but things are back to normal. So yeah, I've been flying back and forth to the Netherlands a lot to spend time with my family again. That's mm-hmm. that was also a lot of fun.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you kept yourself busy. I'm on the other hand, actually, I was kind of busy. I talked about it last week, but not too much going on in the offseason after that first wave of free agency, like the first couple weeks, once all the signing stopped. You had like the Carlson trade and the DeBrincat trade, but after that it was like there wasn't really much going on. So now is like a good time to talk about hockey because, you know, training camp's about to start. Rookie camp is underway. We were just talking about how we wanted to have, you know, these scrimmages, the rookie scrimmages, broadcasted on either on MSG or on TV, wherever. But turns out like this, it's got to be like a really small majority of people that are into like the prospects and stuff. Like our community on Twitter and stuff is very niche, is how I described it to Steven. Mm-hmm. That knows about each and every single one of the prospects, everybody that the Rangers draft, whereas like a casual fan will, you know, only hear about them when they first come up to the team, like when they first get called up. Like, yeah. I remember that, like when the Rangers, like when I first started watching the Rangers, there was kids that would get called up and I had no idea who they were until they were called up, until, you know, Sam and Joe talked about them on the broadcast. But I guess there's just not enough of a demand for the scrimmages. I mean, even like a live showing of the practices would be cool.
Yeah, and it's It's that, but it's also the fact that the facility they use in Tarrytown isn't set up with cameras. Now, it is a relatively new facility, so it's a choice that the Rangers made. Like, it was a decision to not make the facility big enough to put cameras in there. It was a decision to not make it big enough to facilitate fans attending practice. I was in Seattle in January visiting friends, and we went to the Seattle Kraken practice facility. There's room for 500 fans to sit down and watch them practice. It's free admission. You don't have to buy tickets. You just walk in, you sit down, and you watch them during practice. The Rangers cannot do that because the facility doesn't have enough room next to the rink to have those bleachers or benches, which sucks. Let's be real here, because it would be so cool if over the past few years, of course, also if we didn't have COVID, but when we had top two picks in the draft, that fans can just go to Tarrytown and attend a practice. Like, for instance, the Seattle Kraken, they pick certain days. They announce it on their website where the practice is open to the public. And we went on, I think, a Tuesday, and there were like 200 to 250 people there. And I wish Ranger fans had that same opportunity, but unfortunately, that's not the case. So we have to rely on the coverage by Vince Mercogliano, Molly Walker, Colin Stephenson, who are all doing a great job at it. They cover the Rangers during these camps with some video footage. They, especially Vince Mercogliano, goes really in depth with these prospects, asking them questions. So the coverage, at least, it's there. I just wish there was something that we could tune into for this.
Yeah, and I'm going to get Colin on the show in a couple weeks too for that very reason, because I know the Rangers don't broadcast the practices or scrimmages, any of that stuff. Like, you'd have to go to other teams to find that. I know, like, when the Rangers play the Flyers in like the scrimmage camps and stuff, the Flyers will broadcast those games, and I'll usually try and check those out.
Yeah, and
So
that's also because those games are played at the is it PPL Center in Allentown?
it's another facility. It's not the Rangers facility.
No, it's an AHL arena. It's where the Lehigh Valley Phantoms play. It's also one of only a handful of arenas in the AHL that has HD camera setups. So you get a broadcast that's similar to what you get in the NHL.
That's pretty cool.
Like, not the same amount of angles and everything, but the quality of the cameras, it's really nice to watch a Lehigh Valley Phantoms game online or on TV. So the fact that the Rangers will play both games in Allentown this year makes me hopeful that we get proper coverage, because the Flyers are in charge, not the Rangers. So hopefully there's a quality stream we can tune into. I think it's tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, the 2 days that they're playing there.
I always wondered why it always seemed like 480p on the AHL games for the quality. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, it's because most AHL arenas aren't equipped with quality the quality cameras you need for an HD broadcast.
Makes
And
sense.
the AHL doesn't bring in enough money to warrant that
Right.
kind of investment.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it's kind of like just how like I would start a podcast. Like, I would just do it on my, I was starting it just on Zoom, like off free stuff. Like, I didn't really care too much about the quality
Yeah.
until I got
Yeah,
later on.
like when I do my prospect interviews, I just have like a Skype session or a
Right.
Zoom session with Brandon Hoffman or Zach Jones
Whatever
or
gets the job
whoever.
done.
Whoever it was. And then sometimes I share little snippets of something that's interesting. I like to share the video of the player, like, explaining in their own words that point. And once or twice I had someone respond saying, "Oh, that's really shitty camera work, man." Like, yeah, but I don't do this for a living.
Yeah.
I don't go to Brandon Othman's house and have a camera set up, like, with microphones and lighting. No. I just reach out to him and we set up a Skype call, and he called me from, I think, his mom's iPad. So yeah,
Whatever works.
the lighting's not going to be great, but it is what it is. When I was talking to Zach Jones a couple of years ago, it was early in the season, like I think September or maybe even August, and he was just sitting on his parents' front porch on his phone. And it's not about the camera quality. And it's the same with the AHL teams. You know, there's not enough to gain financially to make that investment.
Yeah, so long as you could actually watch it and stuff, and it's not like piss poor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. If you could actually see what's going on, then it's fine. It gets the, like I said, it gets the job done.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely something NHL teams can do to improve that coverage. Like, if NHL teams would like show their connections to AHL teams more. Like, how often do you hear about the Hartford Wolfpack on the Rangers broadcast?
Never.
You just don't. It's sometimes when a player scores for them, then it's brought up. But there's not like a dedicated segment on like a show on MSG where they go, all right, so this is the Hartford Wolfpack, and these are the players to play there. This is the head coach, and this is what we're gonna do. And honestly, it's probably because not enough people are interested in that kind of content. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm hoping
that the MSG Plus app is available like on Samsung TVs and Roku and stuff like that, because I have like the login information.
Mm-hmm.
One of my cousins lives in New York, so I use his login information to watch the games, which saves me money. But I just need the app to be on the TV so I don't have to connect the cord from my laptop to my TV every other night to watch a game. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big hassle. So I'm hoping that, you know, they come up with an app to put on the TV. Right now it's available on the phones and like Chromecast. I was talking to one of the representatives and they're saying like they're working on it, or they're trying to get it on like TVs and stuff. So
yeah, see, like, they're working on it means that it's not a priority, because if it was a priority, it would have been done already, because it's not that complicated.
Yep.
It's 2023. It's not 2009 anymore.
Right.
We're not talking about making apps for a brand new operating system.
Just literally put it on the TV. Like, the TV does it, like, for all the apps, like YouTube and Netflix, Xfinity Stream, like, for Roku and stuff like that. You know, I can't imagine it being that hard. Sure, there'd probably be bugs and stuff, but MSG Go has bugs.
Yeah, it's not like MSG Go is bug-free at the moment.
Right. True. Yeah. Well, anyways, I mean, rookie camp is underway. There's noteworthy prospects. Of course, we know the names. Brennan Othman, Adam Sikora, Will Cooley, and you could even throw in Matthew Robertson, because this is like, what is this, his third, fourth year maybe?
He was drafted 4 years ago.
Okay, so then this is his, like, fourth camp, rookie camp. So, I mean, if ever there was an opportunity for him to make the Rangers and play on the NHL squad, it's this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him, though.
It will be, yes, because the Rangers did sign Erik Gustafsson, and he had a really good year last season. I could see it happening if there is injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's the first call-up, but to them, I think Harper's probably the first call up.
But look, there's Gustafsson. Then there's still Zach Jones.
Yep.
Who's ahead of Robertson on the depth chart at the moment. Then you have Ben Harper. You have Connor Mackey, who played for the Coyotes last season. There's a lot of depth for like the third pair, if in case there's an injury. It's not going to be easy for Robertson. But yeah, at some point, you're going to have to make a decision, because if he doesn't play anytime soon, you end up with a Ryan Graves situation.
Yeah, and don't want to do that, because Graves turned out pretty good, and they just never gave him a chance.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with Robertson. But, yeah, I think on defense, the team is pretty much set. But on offense, that's where it's interesting.
Yeah, offense is the interesting one. I think Will Cooley's got a good shot of cracking a spot in the Rangers lineup. It depends on, like, I mean, you look at the guys like Nash and Belzeal, right? I know Pitlick. I think Pitlick is a guaranteed roster spot, because he's a true right winger, they were saying, and the Rangers don't have many of those guys on the team. So this is an opportunity for Cooley to crack a spot in the lineup. Not like a top line player, more of like a fourth line player, I'd say. Right.
Yeah. And I think the center depth is pretty much set. You have Zibanejad, Trocheck, Hedl, and then on the fourth line is going to be Goudreau or Bonino.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Goudreau could maybe move up to the third line if we need someone there. But VZ is going to be on the roster. Goudreau is going to be on the roster. There's no question there. Kako, Wheeler, Kreider, Panarin, Lafreniere are all going to be on the roster. As you said, Pitlick is going to be on the roster. And then you have a group of both veterans and younger players that are going to fight for like maybe one or two spots in Othman and Cooley and Adam Edström, who came over from Sweden earlier this year. Adam Sikora, who's only 19, so it might be too soon for him, but who knows?
I'm going to say
and
that.
Then the veterans you still have on the team, like Jake Lecision, Johnny Brodzinski, Anton Bleed, and then newly signed Alex Belzile, and Riley Nash, as you mentioned. That's like 10 players that will be competing for spots, and there's only one, maybe two spots to give away. So it's going to be an interesting it's going to be a really interesting camp once the rookies are done. I think the rookie camp ends on Tuesday.
Okay. Brodzinski, too, we're talking about.
I thought I mentioned Brodzinski. Sorry if I missed him. But, yeah, Brodzinski's in the conversation, too, with Anton Bleed and Jake Lecision as, like, those veteran players, like the players that have already been around a couple of years that are really good to have in the AHL. But if you need them as a call-up for a couple of games in case of injury, those are guys that you can call up. And to me, the interesting comment today was about Chris Drury, who said that they're going to try Othman and Lafreniere on the right side in training camp.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. Like I said, the right wing depth chart is very thin. It's Kako and Wheeler and a whole lot of nothing after that.
Yeah, it's Kako, Wheeler, and then there's an open spot on the third line, and then there's Pitlick.
Yep.
So you're looking at either Lafreniere being the right wing on the second line and Wheeler being pushed down to the third, or Othman playing on the right side with Wheeler getting a top six spot on Panarin's line. It would be Panarin, Trocheck, Wheeler, or Panarin, Hedl, Wheeler. And then your third line would have Othman and Lafreniere on the wings. If that's the case, I prefer Trocheck on the third line to have some kind of experience and a defensive-minded center there, and have Hedl with Panarin and Wheeler. But there are opportunities for players, yes. And hearing that the Rangers are willing to try both of those young kids on the right side is what we want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Lafreniere on the right side. That's a good sign. Like, I kept talking over the summer when I was producing episodes, I kept mentioning like the start of last season, you know, those like first 15 to 20 games when Lafreniere was playing on the right with Panarin. Those were the best games that he's played in the NHL. And
yeah,
I would argue. So to see him get another opportunity during camp is it's good to see for me, like, at least. I think that's
unfortunately the last two head coaches we've had are better suited as blackjack dealers because they love to shuffle so often.
Yeah.
They can never stick with lines for an extended amount of time. And that was a problem with Quinn, and it was a problem with Gallant. And hopefully under Laviolette, that's a thing of the past, where if Lafreniere does get a shot on the second line, we give him a couple of weeks. You know, give him like 10, 15 games. And then, you know, after that, look back and see, okay, is this what we want to do moving forward?
Yeah, I hope Laviolette goes through with what he was saying in his introductory press conference about how Lafreniere and Kako need to be given the opportunity to have like those extra shifts, let's just say.
Yeah. And if you look at Laviolette as a coach, he took the Flyers to a Stanley Cup final, and that was a team with a lot of young players, like 24 and younger, in James Van Riemsdyk, Claude Giroux, Jeff Carter, Mike Richards, Sean Couturier, Braden Schenn. Some of those came after that cup run, but he was still the coach when those younger guys came onto the scene. Then in Nashville, he did the same thing on defense with Josi, Ellis, and Ekholm, and on offense with Fiala, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson. So he does have a track record of giving young players a chance. And I think what happened in Washington under Laviolette is more like an anomaly than an indicator of what he is as a coach. Because the young guys in Washington weren't really given a chance, but I'm of the opinion that their young guys aren't as talented as ours. Like Connor McMichael and who's the other guy? Hendricks Lapierre. They're decent prospects, but they're no Kako or Lafreniere.
You're right.
You're talking about the equivalent of a guy like maybe Henriksson or Korzak if they take a step. They're not surefire NHLers. It's not like those guys were kicking the door down and earned a spot on the NHL roster. Maybe in a couple of years, but they're not there yet. But what he did in Philly and especially in Nashville, that's a really good indicator of what we can expect from Laviolette when it comes to handling young players. And he mentioned this in his press conference when he was announced as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned those young players that he worked with. And what I like the most about this hiring with Laviolette is that the coaching staff is a coaching staff that Drury put together. It's not like you hire a head coach and then there's three assistants that are just following him around, you know, like puppies, like with Gerard Gallant. He had the same three assistants everywhere he went. Same with Alain Vigneault and same with most coaches.
Yep.
But now with Laviolette, they add Phil Housley, Michael Pekka, and Dan Muse. And some of them have experience working with Laviolette, but it wasn't like there was a standard group of assistants that was following him around everywhere. Kevin McCarthy, who was with him in Philly, Nashville, and Washington, didn't come to New York. So I really like the balance of experience with Laviolette and Housley and then the newer guys in Pekka and Muse. I think that's a really good balance.
Mm-hmm. And this is a good point here about Rasmus Sandin when he got traded from the Leafs to the Capitals.
Yeah, Rasmus Sandin led all deadline acquisitions in points as a defenseman. Right.
Yeah, he killed it once he...
And he's like, 22? He's 22 years old. So, yeah, Sandin kind of proves that point that Laviolette has no problem giving young players a chance if they're good enough.
Right. So, Othman being on the NHL squad is not like they're gonna stunt his growth. Like we've seen in the past with like Kako, Hedel, Lafreniere, you know, Zach Jones a little bit. So with Othman, I mean, it's not a bad thing again to get him on the team. Like if he kills it out of preseason, like if he has another preseason, like last year, I thought he was good enough to make the squad. It just didn't, I don't think he was ready. I don't think it was part of the plan yet for him to make it. Like he had some great moments in preseason last season, but I think another year of like conditioning and stuff or another year in the juniors, you know, was a little helpful. It just sucked that he couldn't play in the AHL because of the age rule.
And what I really like about Othman, what he did this summer, because he came to New York for prospect development camp in July, which always happens right after the draft, where the most recent draftees show up, the kids that are in college, they come to New York for a couple of days, they all work out. After that was over, Brennan Othman then spent some time in New York working out with some guys affiliated to the Rangers, spent a couple of weeks in New York, then he went on vacation, and then when he came back from vacation, he joined the Peterborough Petes for their training camp. And he's not even going to play for them this season, but he still wanted to be there, you know, just to get some work in. And this guy has had two really short off seasons in a row. Like last year, there was the World Juniors that was postponed and then played in August, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, because the Peterborough Petes won the OHL Championship, they played in the Memorial Cup, which went all the way through to like May or maybe even June. So he was playing hockey very late into the summer and then spent all summer getting ready, you know, working on his skating, working on his physique. And like that's the dedication and attitude you want to see from the first round.
And I wanted to talk about that too, because they did, like, he weighed in at, what was it, 187, 188 pounds yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the Elite Prospects page right now, and it says he's current, it says 181. So that's not up to date, obviously, because yesterday he just weighed in, and he said he put on 10 pounds of muscle. So it makes sense. It's about 10 pounds there.
I think the 10 pound muscle is compared to last year, but or maybe it is over the summer, who knows. The guy that the Canadians drafted, David Reinbacher, I think he added 15 pounds in just the last 3 months between the combine in June and this week, he added 15 pounds.
Wow. Whew. That's nuts. I thought like the 10 pounds was like just from like the off season.
No. But it is still, you know, that's what you want from your first round pick. You know, that's the kind of progression you want to see, not just on the ice, but also off the ice.
We talked last week in the first episode back for Ice Cold Takes about how Kako in his first year, his rookie year compared to his second year, how much his arms grew. Right. Like when he first came to the NHL, he was really skinny, and then he put on, like, his arms were way bigger. And then like Lafreniere, you really can't notice a difference.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but yes, that's something I noticed as well. I don't want to blame Lafreniere for anything, but look, if you are an NHL player, if you are aware of the criticism, you know, and you have a social media account, like, I'm not saying he has to do this, but he would make his life so much easier if he would have just uploaded one or two photos of him in the gym. It would have made his life so much easier. Yep. It would have killed so much of the criticism, you know?
Yep.
And, like, he doesn't have to. I'm not saying he has to. I'm just saying it would have helped, like, the perception of how he spends his offseason. Because the only thing he posted on Instagram was him playing softball.
Right. If he just didn't post that probably would have made it easier too. Because, like, I don't know. I can't remember if Kako or Hedo, like, posted themselves in the gym. But I know there was video that surfaced of them, like, working out and stuff, like, in past.
I think Hedo posted it himself, yes.
Okay. And then, like, I think it was last offseason, like, Kako working in Finland on his slap shot, and it was like over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, it was like 102, I think. I can't remember, but like,
yeah,
I don't know if he posted
that. And that was covered by, like, Finnish media, so it makes it a little easier for that news to come out, of course. But yeah, look, I'm not saying Lafreniere is not working out. It's just that just one picture of him in the gym would have silenced so many of the critics, at least during the offseason.
This is a good point too. Like, how come he needs to be, like, carried by line mates? I mean, like, I don't even look at it like that. I look at it as, like, you know, sometimes he shows up and sometimes he doesn't. Like, sometimes you notice him out there, and a lot of the time I've noticed a trend, like, at the start of the season, like the start of last season, or like Gallant's first year and the start of this past season, like, you know, first couple games, it was like Lafreniere. Actually, no, I take that back about this past season. But first 2 years, it was like, what is this guy doing? Like, I don't notice him at all. His first 2 years of his career.
To me, the biggest difference between Kako and Lafreniere is that when Lafreniere is not scoring, you don't notice him at all. When Kako is not scoring, you still notice him on the ice because he still makes plays. He still takes the puck away from the opponents. He still skates it up the ice. He has possession of the puck. And Lafreniere is not noticeable away from the puck. That will be my biggest criticism of Lafreniere. And that's something he needs to work on. He needs to be better away from the puck, more noticeable. But look, the kid's only 21. I know there's a lot of pressure on him as the first overall pick, but hopefully it'll come.
And what you were saying about Kako, that's the thing. Like, he doesn't score that often. I mean, only 40 points last season, and you know, you noticed him a whole lot because he was drawing penalties, tiring out defenders. I said it last week, but I'll say it again. No,
And his takeaway numbers, I think in his second season especially, or in his third, his takeaway numbers were really high up on the list, like league wide. That's really noticeable.
Like I feel a legit breakout coming between for Kako and even Hedl too. Like I feel like Hedl's gonna up the goal score. Maybe not the assist numbers, but like the goal scoring. Like I think you could see him hit 25 again. Like he had 20.
Yeah, Hedl reminds me a lot of Hedl reminds me a lot of Artem Anisimov, who would go on a fucking tear for 10 games where he'd score 7 goals and add 6 assists, and then he'd cool off for a month where he'd have like 3 points in 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
And with Hedl, if Hedl would be more consistent when he's on his game, we wouldn't have anything to complain about. Like I'm not even complaining about Hedl. I think Hedl, for where he was drafted and how he's progressed, he's doing well.
Yep. I like him.
Like his highs are really high. They're just not as frequent as you want them to be. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. I see what you're saying. Yeah. And I like that he shoots too. Like he has a very keen willingness to shoot. Mm-hmm. And that's important because this is a team, once again, that's filled with a lot of passing.
Yeah. Passer. The one thing I don't want to see ever again is the kid line.
Yeah. I think that needs to, I think they were great last season. There was the Rangers like best line.
Yeah, but it
but if, it does it for them to, you know, improve, like become better players in this league, they need to be separated.
Yeah, but Joey, if your best line is a line with 23-year-old and younger kids that don't even hit 45 points each, you have a problem.
Right.
It's not that the kid line is amazing. It's that the other lines are just not good enough.
Like compared to each other, like there were times where, you know, the kid line just absolutely smoked everybody else, and they were the only ones scoring at even strength. Again, that's the issue. This is the issue that, you know, hopefully Laviolette can fix. Because I looked at his teams, like when he was with Nashville, he had very good 5v5 teams. Very good.
Yeah.
Top 5.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
His Predators were in the top 5, at least in the first few years that he coached them. So you give him a team with this amount of skill and talent, and like you said earlier, he's willing to work with young guys. I think that you could make a significant improvement this year. They're counting on it, because if they don't, they're just going to end up in the same spot they did last year.
Yeah, and look, the improvement has to come from behind the bench, because the improvement wasn't going to come on the ice with the lack of cap space the Rangers had. I think Drury did a really good job adding guys like Wheeler and Gustafsson, especially at those cap hits of $825,000. But the improvements have to come from the coaching. And the players that we're going to rely on this season were already there last season. The personnel on the ice is not going to change that much. It's the personnel behind the bench that has changed. And if Laviolette can get more out of those top players, and maybe not even more in terms of production, because when you look at Panarin and Zibanejad hitting 90 points, and Kreider scoring 35 goals, that's all great. And I think Trocheck had the third highest point total in his first season as a Ranger by a free agent in the salary cap era. behind only Marion Gabrick and Brad Richards.
Not Panarin?
And sorry, and Panarin, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Four. Right. Sorry, I mean, yeah, it's because of my own language. So fourth highest. In Dutch, we say op drie now, which is like after three. So I mixed up the numbers there. But yeah, I think it's after Panarin, Gabrick, and Richards.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean,
I get what you're saying. Trocheck was really good. Like the personnel is there. The production was there. We just need to close it out. Like when we have a lead, when we take a two-goal lead into the dressing room, into the locker room, and you come back on the ice, that's when you have to close it out. The Rangers are absolutely terrible at closing out games where they have a lead. Some of the older listeners might remember this, but there was this thing on social media we referred to about 10 years ago called The Stat, where the Rangers were like 137-1-17 when taking a lead into the third period. And that was over like a 6 or 7 year span where they only had one regulation loss when they took a lead into the third period. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see from this team again. When you take a lead into the third period, I want them to close it out. That's where the improvement's going to come from. And the improvement's going to come from holding on to the puck, like playing a possession game instead of just dumping it and chasing it. Because my biggest criticism of this team last season is that once they enter the offensive zone, they do not hold on to the puck for more than 15 seconds. They never set up. They either shoot and there's a whistle, or they shoot and the other team recovers the puck. Whereas the opponents, when they get into our zone, they have time to set up camp, you know, light a fire, you know, grill some, what's this thing you grill on, like the campfire? What do you call it? Like
dogs or marshmallows.
The marshmallows. Yeah, you sit around the campfire with some marshmallows, like actually setting up camp. That's what opponents can do in our zone when they.
And it's not just one time either. You're right. It's a period.
It feels like, you know, when people say the ice is tilted, it feels like the rink is narrower when we want to enter the zone.
And then, gargantuan.
But when we have to defend the blue line, it's like Moses parting the Red Sea.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
It's just, when we want to enter the zone, it's like a funnel. I don't know what it is. I don't know how this team became so allergic to zone entries.
Yeah, and when it came in the playoffs, like that big issue where that was just the most frustrating thing because they couldn't get it in.
Yeah, the Rangers 9 out of 10 times scored from broken plays, which is great if it works, but it's not something
you can rely on. Broken plays.
It's not something you can rely on, exactly. Right. It's not something that you can replicate. It's not something you can work towards.
Right. Like if they just were average at like zone entries and stuff like that, then
I'll take that.
We're already
take
doing average. Ranger Central in here said it before, like if they could improve and be average in those areas, they were already doing damage as like a piss poor team, you know, like on even strength. If they average, then
this team was top five on the power play and top five in total goals scored in the league last year. And somehow, we can never get it over the line without a heart attack. We can never just look back on a game and go, oh, that was nice. I'm going to go to bed now.
Right.
No, it's never like that, is it? I think the NHL should give Madison Square Garden an exemption to serve alcohol in the third period. It's
kill the stress.
We deserve alcohol in the third period when we attend Ranger games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the full. It's a 60-minute effort. Remember, like the Tampa Bay game, the first game of the season last year. That was a complete effort. Like that needs to happen more.
like, there are never, especially under Gerard Gallant, there were never like three periods in a row that were identical. Never, ever. It was like Jekyll and Hyde with this team. And hopefully Laviolette can fix that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Going back to Othman real quick. I don't know about you. I kind of want Othman to play a year in the AHL because of just to work with Knobloch, because Knobloch worked with a lot of younger guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, look, I don't really care that much. I'm a big fan of Othman. I've met him a couple of times. He's a really great guy, and you know, I really hope he does well. But if he goes to the AHL for a year, sure, go for it. Go down to the AHL, score a ton of goals, and then work your way up. If he makes the team out of camp, I'm happy too. But to me, there's no clear right or wrong answer here. I can make a case for both scenarios. But it will depend on how he does in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
When rookie camp ends on Tuesday, and when the roster players join, that's when his mission starts. Like, everything up to next Wednesday, including this, is just preparation.
Mm-hmm. If Othman makes the team out of camp, unless there's an injury, Patrick Kane's not coming back, because I know he's still unsigned, and I don't think the Rangers are going to sign him unless it's, you know, dirt cheap, because they don't have any salary cap space. But Kane won't be coming back if Othman makes the team out of camp, unless there's an injury.
Yeah, who knows? Look, Pitlick's not going to last the whole season. The last time he played a full season was 2017-18.
It's a long time.
So there are going to be injuries at some point. I don't even want to think about Patrick Kane. Look, maybe he'll sign with us, maybe he doesn't, but I just want to focus on training camp now and mm-hmm. see which kids have a good opportunity to make it. I think there's three, not four. I'll name four guys that I think have a chance to make the team.
Okay.
We spoke about Othman.
Othman, Cooley.
Cooley, obviously. Okay. Zach Jones, which I think is more a given because he's no longer waiver eligible.
Yeah, so yeah. I think he's already has his spot.
He's going to be the new Hayek. He's going to be on the team whether he plays or not.
Hopefully not as bad as Hayek, though.
My wild card, though, my dark horse to make the team at some point during the season is Adam Edstrom.
Right.
Because this guy, he's 22 now. He's turning 23 before the end of the year.
He's a center, right?
He plays center and he plays wing. And his style is tailor-made for the fourth line. You can compare him to Elmer Soderblom of the Detroit Red Wings, if you've seen him play.
I have not.
He's big. Adam Edstrom, I think, is 6'7 or 6'8, over 220 pounds, really good frame. And when he was playing in Sweden, he was too physical for that league. He would get suspended for hits that in the NHL aren't even a penalty. So I think he'd be tailor-made for a fourth-line role. Maybe not straight out of camp, but down the line, maybe around Christmas, around the All-Star break, if Tyler Pitlick gets injured, I wouldn't be surprised to if he gets a call up, because
like, kind of like how Cooley did, but his was more of a promotion, like he earned it, and then
yeah, and I think that was also around the time that LeCision was sent down. It was more like a swap between LeCision and Cooley.
I thought LeCision.
No, it was Semi-Blay.
Blay
went to Hartford on a conditioning stint, and then Cooley was called up. I think that was I think that was it. But yeah, we'll see. There, one final name I want to mention, and he's not even a Ranger prospect, is one of the invitees who I think is very intriguing. 18-year-old James Petrovsky, who plays for the Owen Sound Attack in the OHL, used to play for the Flint Firebirds with Brennan Othman. He was undrafted this year, and the Rangers could sign him to an entry-level contract. I think the deadline is September 30th, They can sign him to an entry-level contract, and then he could go back to juniors for 2 years while his ELC slides, and they would basically get a free defensive prospect out of it. It's kind of, it would be kind of similar to the Flyers with Philip Myers a couple of years ago. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I find it interesting that an 18-year-old defensive prospect undrafted is getting an invite to rookie camp after he was at prospect camp in June.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there's definitely some interest there. So yeah, we'll see. And then Sahil Panwar is a forward who also played with Hoffman in the OHL. He signed an AHL contract with the Hartford Wolfpack. So he'll be in Hartford anyway, but he cannot be called up. He has to sign an NHL contract first if he does.
I was going to say about the tryouts, like the PTOs. Drury said like there's no plans right now for any PTOs because and I know last year they did it with VZ. It would seem like it would be a good idea to do it this year, but
yeah, but
I don't know who's out there.
It's not just that. I don't think we need any PTOs.
Right. That's
because if you look at the defense, look at goaltending. We have Shesturkin as the starter. We have Quick as the backup. And
right.
Then we have Louis Domingue, Dylan Garand, and Talon Boyko in the minors.
That's fine. That's good.
You're set at goaltending.
Goaltending is good.
On defense, you have Lindgren Fox, Miller Trouba, and then let's say Gustafsson Schneider with Jones as the seventh, right? After that, you have Ben Harper, Connor Mackey, who played in the NHL last year, Mac Hollowell, Ty Emerson, Brandon Scanlon, Matthew Robertson. That's seven defensemen already that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That could fight for a spot. You don't need a PTO there. And then on offense, we talked about Wheeler that we signed. We talked about Pitlick. We mentioned Bonino.
Mm-hmm.
But we also signed Alex Belzile. We signed Riley Nash. We have Anton Bleed, who we traded for last season, still in the AHL. That's like six, seven players that doesn't even include our prospects. So I don't think the Rangers need a PTO. They don't have any need for a guy coming in on the PTO. They already have the guys in-house to fight for spots.
I agree. I just saw some people like saying that they should sign some PTOs, and I don't agree with that. I don't think the Rangers need that. I also think the Rangers are tough enough too.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't need to get any tougher, like Bonino, Goodrow, Pitlick, VZ. Mm-hmm. VZ proved he was a damn good defensive player last year. Like, hard to play.
Yeah, and Jimmy VZ earning a contract on a PTO last year is great, but it's also a very rare occurrence that happens. PTOs are like seventh round picks. Like, more often than not, a PTO doesn't even sign a contract. And if they do, they're going to be in the minors.
Unless it's Michael Haley.
Unless it's a guy like Michael Haley, and I think Ryan Malone at some point earned a contract, but he was gone after a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. The last good player to come in on a PTO before Jimmy Vesey was Anton Stralman in 2011.
He was a waiver pickup, I think.
No, he came in on a PTO. I think he attended the Devils training camp, and they cut him. And then the Rangers gave him a PTO. And then after training camp, they signed him, played for the Rangers for 3 years. And then he became one of the most underrated defensemen in Tampa.
Yep.
But a PTO is not that kind of player. 9 out of 10 times you end up with AHLers or tweeners. Like, you remember Chris Newbery?
Yes.
I thought we were never going to get rid of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was always there. Which is great if you're still looking for depth and if you're looking for experience in the AHL. Like, years ago, we had like Peter Holland and Paul Carey and Cole Schneider, I think.
David Desharnais.
Those are guys that you can really use, but in the AHL, we already have those guys.
Desharnais, who is also still on ESPN's fantasy projections. for fantasy hockey.
As oh, is he?
Rangers. Yeah, we were looking at it last week. Desharnais, Libor Hayek, and Tarasenko are still Rangers.
I should, because I have my fantasy hockey draft this Sunday. Okay. I should try to convince some people to draft some players that are not even in the league.
Right. Yeah. Like Desharnais is there.
I remember a couple of years ago there was a second Mike Hoffman in the ESPN fantasy player database. I picked up Mike Hoffman as a free agent pickup, and then I traded him to someone for Artemi Panarin when he was still with Chicago. But it was the other Mike Hoffman, and the guy didn't know. That was funny.
Least deal there. Yeah.
That was, I basically got Panarin for free.
There you go.
I think it was a rookie season.
Just like the Columbus trade.
Yeah, like
the one in real life.
That always reminds me of the fact that Brendan Saad was traded three times. And all three times the Chicago Blackhawks were involved, and all three times they lost the trade.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Because the first time they traded him to Columbus, and the best player they got back was Artem Anisimov, so they lost that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Then they traded Panarin to Columbus to get him back, so they lost that one. They lost that trade too. And then they traded Saad to Colorado for Nikita Zadorov. So again, they lost that trade too. That three Brendan Saad trades, and the Blackhawks lost every time.
Crazy.
Well,
we talked about the PTOs, Lafreniere and Hoffman on the right side. You think the Rangers are tough enough this year? You think Drury added enough sandpaper to the mix?
Look, I think the physicality and I think the size was always there, but there was no cohesion, there was no structure. You cannot play a good game if there's no structure. And it's the same thing with pace. You can be the fastest player in the world. If you don't know what direction you're going to, then your pace is useless. It's like driving through a strange city in a Ferrari, but you have to stop at every corner to check your GPS which direction you have to go. You're not going to go very fast if you don't know where to go.
The structure is the interesting one. Like it's the left wing lock system that Laviolette employs, I believe.
It's not just that. It's also set plays. You know, there was a set play that Panarin used a lot in Columbus where he would come down the left, cut inside, and then drop the puck back. And it worked under David Quinn because the players knew what to expect. Because as much as I criticize David Quinn, he was really good at analyzing the game. And the way he used the video footage in the video room with players, he was pretty good at that. Gerard Gallant wasn't. Gerard Gallant is a very no-nonsense type of guy. He's just, you know, he doesn't believe in set plays, I think. Because under Gallant for 2 years, those drop passes by Panarin were always intercepted. And why were they intercepted? Because the set plays were not practiced. Panarin was still doing his set plays, but the other players weren't there to pick up the puck. That's just one example. And you see that with other players too. If you don't know where to go, then you're going to be confused. You're gonna go, okay, maybe I go to the left, maybe I go to the right. But under Laviolette, that will improve, and hopefully it'll improve enough where both in the physicality department and the pace department, mm-hmm. it will be a significant improvement.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll have to see what goes on for the turnovers for Panarin, because I know in the playoffs too that was a big issue. Drury talked a little bit about that today too, and that he wants to redeem himself, Panarin, like he's ready to play.
Yeah,
I'm ready to watch. So hopefully he has a good camp, comes into the season ready to go. And I think 100 points this year is what he needs to do.
I mean, the guy has hit 90 points every year as a Ranger, 4 years in a row.
Right.
And the first 2 years, he was on pace for 113, but both seasons were cut short.
Right.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, and the second year he went back to Russia for.
Yeah, but even then, that second season was only 56 games.
Yep.
So if there was no pandemic, Artemi Panarin would have become the first Ranger ever to have multiple 100-point seasons. No player in Ranger history has done that twice.
He could still do it too. He only has 3-4 years left on the deal.
If you want to be depressed, you should look up, like, go to Hockey Reference, click on the Rangers, go to the franchise page, and then go to records and count how few players have hit 100 points. How few players have
hit
90. And then pick any other team that's been in the league for like 50 years, like expansion era and onward, and compare. It's depressing, man. This team,
I'd rather not do that.
it's been 97 years. So 96 seasons, because we lost a whole season in 04 or 05. 96 seasons. And not one player has hit 100 points twice.
Crazy.
That's
one of the original six teams, and that hasn't happened. I guarantee you it's happened for all the other five teams.
It's also sad that Kreider was only the fourth player to hit 50 goals.
I will say, though, I think Zibanejad could hit 50. I think fifth,
yeah. Yeah. Rattel, Hatfield, Graves, Jager, Kreider. But still, five players to hit 50 goals for a team that's been around for a century.
I think Zibanejad could make it six this year.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Assuming a full, all 82 games, fully healthy, injuries. No. I think he could hit 50 this year.
Yeah, look, like I said, the biggest
got to start scoring some even strength goals, though.
Yeah, the biggest improvement that can be made is behind the bench, and I think it's going to be a big change. So,
yeah,
fingers
and
crossed.
I'll rehash my point from last week too. I think it'll take a little getting used to, like, whatever the new system, the new style under Laviolette. They might struggle out of the gate, so I won't be surprised if that happens.
Yeah,
I'll be upset, of course, because I'm a fan, but, you know, I think it'll take a little getting used to. Who knows? Maybe they'll prove me wrong and they'll come out firing.
Maybe the team will have a slow start and we shouldn't jump ship right away. We'll need to give it a couple of weeks, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got to see. Like, the season hasn't even started yet. You know, hopefully they come in motivated, ready to go.
Yeah,
stuff, but, you know, if they lose a few games the first couple of weeks of the season, you know, there's like 82 games. So what? Let's say like 10 games are out of the way, right? Like, you have 70 games left to make it up.
Yeah, and look, I think the Rangers are still going to finish top three in the division. I don't think, aside from the Devils and Hurricanes, there's a team that will finish ahead of the Rangers.
Yeah, I don't think the Rangers are going to – I don't think – I agree with you on that, and I don't think the Rangers are good enough to win first place or second in the division. I think third place is right about where they're going to be.
Yeah. True.
Unless a major injury happens to one of those other – to the Devils or the Hurricanes, or the Rangers just absolutely storm and, like, crush it the entire year under Laviolette, I can't see it happening.
Yeah. Let's hope so. I'm just glad hockey's back.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad hockey is back too. We're going to wrap up this episode. Steven, thanks again for joining me. Always a pleasure talking hockey with you.
Anytime.
Hey, Rangers fans. Thank you so much for listening to the Ice Cold Takes podcast this week. Make sure you follow at Ice Cold Takes Pod on Twitter to stay up to date with the latest Rangers info. See you all next week. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.